We're going to go to Psalm 1, the very middle of the Bible. And I thought it'd be nice to look at what God's Word talks about on choices. The choices we make. Life, as we know, is full of choices. Just go into a grocery store and you look for cereal. There's more than one type, right? More than one type of coffee, more than one type of applesauce. If it were Russia, it would be one type. But in America, there's all kinds of choices available. There's choices in everything. And some of the choices we make have no big bearing. You know, if you're at the ice cream store and you're not sure if you want to do chocolate or vanilla, the consequences of picking what you did, you know, the wrong one, isn't going to be a big deal. But some are pretty powerful consequences. We endeavor to teach our children and grandchildren and young people the difference between right and wrong. And that line is getting more and more blurred in our society where they say there is no right and there is no wrong. It's just how you feel, and that makes it good. But the Word of God doesn't talk about it that way. But we do make choices, and here's an example of two choices and the result. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man," he's a happy guy, "that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Walks not is referring to living his life according to the counsel or advice of the ungodly. Ungodly people are going to give advice that's contrary to truth, contrary to God's word. So as happy as the man that doesn't stick his nose into that stuff. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Sinners are people who do things contrary to God's word, God's will. You know, we break fellowship at times. Before we got born again, we were sinners. It's not standing in the way, and it's not like he's standing in the way of them. It's standing with them. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So there's three things that this guy that's happy doesn't do. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." He thinks about God's word and he gets his mind on that word. Now that takes a choice. We can take the time and say, "I want to see what God's word says," and look at it. Or we can say, "I'm not really that interested right now." We can hear advice from unbelievers that would say something contrary to word, and we can consider that and choose that, or we could refute it. Verse 2, we read. Verse 3, "And he," the guy that's like this, "shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." So there's two different end results depending on the choices made. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, the next book over. Proverbs 1. Proverbs is full of practical information of to what to do or not do, what to stay away from and what to get close to. And it was written for young people. Being we're not that old, that would include us, right? All right. Verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners are the bad guys, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now there's a choice. They're saying, "Yeah, come on. We see this with peer pressure with high school students, you know, teenagers. "Yeah, let's go do this." And one kid's like, "I don't want to do it," but he does it anyway. But the encouragement here is don't consent to it. Don't run down that alley with those people. Consent thou not. If they say, "Come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause." We're going to rob them blind. "Let us wallow them up alive as the grave. and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Let's go beat the crap out of those guys and take all the money. What do you think? Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So here's a contrast. Don't consent with them. You know, they're enticing you. Don't go down that. You ever, you know, don't go down that road. And he's saying, don't walk that way with them. Verse 16. For their feet, here's the reason why. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. You see that in movies. The bad guys, they rob a bank, and then they're trying to get extra money, and they end up losing their life. It's a pretty popular storyline in the movies. Let's go to verse 29. And it gives some more information about those type of people. And here's a little bit more insight on how they are, how they live. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear or the respect of the Lord. Then, or they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So the choices that those certain people make or made don't end up being a really profitable thing. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 3. The choices we make can have a great blessing for our lives or can really mess us up. Chapter 3, verse 31. It says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. You don't envy the oppressor, and you don't choose any of his ways. Let's go to Joshua, chapter 24. Well, before you do that, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, a great psalm, the longest psalm in the Bible that I'm aware of. And we're just going to look at a couple verses, verse 97, and look at the choices that this is David, the King David, writing by Revelation. And this is talking about what he does. And verse 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law, it is the meditation all the day. That's a choice. I'm going to think about what God's word concerning this circumstance. You know, you hear a song maybe on the radio and it's got words on it that aren't the greatest. No. So do you just sing them or do you say, that's not, you know, you check it with what God's word says. Or do you just flow with it? Verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Those commandments, again, a choice. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for they, those testimonies, are my meditation. Again, he's thinking about it. He's choosing to do it. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Again, a choice that was made. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Reason being, so that I can keep the word. You know, we refrain from evil. And sometimes we're really challenged. I mean, it comes right front and center, and we got to either refute it or go with it. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. All choices. We all make choices. Every day we make a choice. We say, whether we're even going to talk to God or not. I don't have time to talk to God. Okay. I don't have time to do that. All right. Choices. Let's go. Now we're going to go to Joshua. Chapter 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Chapter 24. Joshua continued the leadership of the children of Israel after Moses. Joshua is one of the two men that God allowed to go into the promised land. Of all the children of Israel, only Joshua and Caleb went in. And it says, because they wholly followed the Lord. And now Joshua is at the end of his life. He's going to die soon. And he gathers up Israel, and he's going to give them a little talk. If they hadn't quite really completely followed, weren't fully following God's word yet, they were getting closer. And in chapter 24, verse 1, which we're not going to read, he lists all these things that, or some of the things that God did for Israel, all these great things and deliverances and how he took care of them. And then in verse 13, we pick it up, and it says, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat?" You know, you walked into the stuff that's already done for you. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." If that doesn't sound good to you, choose today. Make a choice whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." So they're wise enough to recognize, yeah, God's the one that got us out of Egypt, he's taking care of us, he saved our lives. We're good. We want to serve him. Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." So what Joshua is saying is not that God's going to beat him up, but that, you know, God's a holy God, and you can't just half-heartedly serve him. You either love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or go serve your other gods. And he's trying to get them off the fence. You know, they were like, And he's trying to get them to see, hey, if you're going to serve God, choose to serve him and serve him. But if you don't, don't. Say I'm an unbeliever. Say I'm a whatever. So, verse 21, "And the people said unto Joshua, but we will serve the Lord." Good choice. I remember the first time I read this, like, that's what I want to do. "But we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." You know, we'll sign that sheet that says, yeah, I know what I'm saying. We're verifying. Verse 22, "And Joshua said unto the people," oh, I read that, right? Verse 23. And therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. You know, they still were kind of messing around with other gods, even though they were God's kids and they got the blessing of the land. They still weren't locked in to really serving God with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3. But they made a great choice. They could have done what happened, you see it through a lot of the Old Testament, where they say, nah, we don't want him. We're done with the Lord God. We want to worship something else. So the choices we make, they're just important. Acts 3, you see the beginning of Acts, the apostles, the 12 apostles, really moving with God's word, following the direction of God's will, and just such a blessing to see and read. And in the beginning of Acts 3, Peter and John were walking into the temple, about to walk in, and they ended up ministering healing to the lame man. Remember the lame man? And he got up. He was born that way, and he was over 40 years old when he got delivered. So he'd been 40-something years never having walked. And he immediately stood up, jumped up and down, and hopped and walked into the temple. So there was a quick change. And it got a lot of people's attention. Peter spoke the word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection. And some people did not like that, and some people loved it. Verse 26 of chapter 20 of chapter 3 says, unto you first, this is the ending of his teaching, unto you first, referring to those Israelites there, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They didn't like that. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, which means in jail, until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a lot of people that changed their mind about the Lord Jesus Christ and decided to get born again. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is a lot of socially important people in the temple, in the religious echelon. The big, what we would call the big wigs, you know, the big cheeses or whatever. All the ruling elders to talk to these 12 apostles. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Referring to healing that man. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. That's pretty gutsy. They just got put in jail for speaking the word, and now these guys are, you know, in front of them saying, hey, what are you doing? And he just laid it right in front of them again. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Yeah, what are they going to say? Oh, it was a trick. He had never walked before in his life, and now he's hopping like a bunny. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do about these guys? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So here it is. They got, these are the ruling elders. It's like the king and everybody else, so to speak. And they're talking to these 12 guys, and they say, okay, no more talking about this Jesus stuff. You're done. No more talking. We're done. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. So now they have a choice to make. They could say, you know, you're right. We're not going to do it anymore. Or they could have offered them, you know, hey, if you give us $100,000, we'll stop. I mean, it's bargaining. They're at a point of a choice. And for these guys, it's really obvious, the choice wasn't hard to make. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a choice that they had to make a choice in their head before it came out of their mouth. And it had to be in their heart to do that. They must have so been convicted of what God's word said and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Jesus being their Lord and them being called of God to speak it. It was a no-brainer for them. But again, it still was a choice. They didn't have to do it. What a great answer. So verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, I'm sure they weren't pretty words. Okay, now listen. If you do this again, this is what we're going to do to you. And they further threatened them. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they go back to where the other believers were and tell them what had just happened. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice and started cussing and cursing and screaming and saying, we're going to go get those guys. We're going to throw rocks in their windows and we're going to beat them up and take their kids and throw dirty laundry on. No. What did they do when they heard that? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, just in case you didn't know, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, or in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? For the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And that was a choice they made. We want to speak God's word. Help us to speak your word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Isn't that amazing? But again, choices. They chose, we're going to stand on God's word, we're going to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to speak about what God has made available, and that's that. And then when they reported it to the other believers, they were like, went right to God and said, give us the strength, the wisdom, the energy, and the power to do so. But again, choices. Anybody ever say, oh, I don't know if I ever want to speak God's word anymore? You ever get that stupid thought? Or I don't know if I want to do the word anymore. Stupid thought. And you can follow that thought to it, you know, something that isn't good. Or you can say, that's a stupid thought, and cast it out. But it's a choice, you know. We choose to walk God's word. We choose to believe what it says. We choose to not allow our the ways of the world to beat us up. We are our own person, you know. We choose. We stand on what we want to stand on. So it's pretty cool. It's a great, great way to live. And sometimes people get tricked by the world. Like here, those guys were flexing their muscles and saying, you know, shut up. We're going to take care of you. That's how the mafia works.
Hey.
Hey, if you don't do it our way, we know a concrete company for you. And then that guy's got a choice. There's a believer that we, Susan and I know, you know, many of you know her, but I don't know if you know her background. I'm not going to say her name, but she worked in mafia and as a secretary. And she got witnessed to, started believing the word, and she said, I'm not working here anymore. And she left. And normally they don't allow that to happen because you know too much. And if you're not with them, you're not alive. And she thanked God for protection, was in the same area that she was before, and still living. How about that? She made a choice. She wasn't going to live under fear, and she wasn't going to do their dirty doings. I thought that was pretty cool. And God has blessed her. But, you know, life is full of choices. And we can choose to be sad. We can choose to rejoice in Christ Jesus. So that's that.